explain the precept or lay ordination. The true meaning of precepts in Mahayana Buddhism. Generally speaking, in Mahayana Buddhism, ideal image of the precept is the holy precept which one functions autonomously, independently. the holy precepts and faith referred to as the four kind of the indestructible purity, the four kind of indestructible purity in the primitive Buddhism. The indestructible purity means pure faith, which causes one's life to be imperfect, and confirmed assurance. The faith is your determination. You can make for moving toward seeking for the truth. That is faith, regardless of whether you understand what the truth is or not. Truth is already with us. As long as truth is already with us. Anyway, all we have to do is to move toward that truth. So we need a strong determination, moving toward that truth. That is called faith. Not believing in something anyway, but you don't know what you believe, even though you believe in something divine, but you don't know what it is. So anyway, that is generally speaking the meaning of faith. So in Buddhism, pure faith, holy precept and also faith are referred to as the four kind of indestructible purities. They are the triple prayer and the precept. Triple prayer is taking refuge in the Buddha, take refuge in the Dhamma, take refuge in the Sangha, and precepts. Those four are called the indestructible purity. So the almost the same kind of things in the Buddhist teaching, that is the verse of the precept, the seven Buddhist precept. what occurs in Dhammapada, number 183, you can see this verse of the seven Buddhas precept. usually it is preserved, or it is translated in an hymn that the, imperative form, not do something wrong, do something good, purify your mind. This is Buddhist teaching. Usually we translate Pali original text into English like this. In imperative form, the original textbook, Pali didn't say, didn't use imperative form. So, if you use imperative form, the precept becomes something like moral or ethics, which usual people, ordinary people, or deluded people should obey. But the seven, the Buddhist precept is not the kind of moral or ethics, ethical teaching. It is only a holy precept, which we should function at the autonomously. It's not something given by somebody. You should follow. That is very common. But the seven Buddhist precepts in general Buddhism is not moral or ethical or teaching, but the holy precepts. So I can say that this refraining from all evil, practicing all that is good, purifying one's mind, these are the teaching of all the Buddhas. So refraining from all evil, practicing all that is good, purifying one's mind, these are the three are the teaching of all the Buddhas. So first two, refraining from all evil, practicing all that is good, are precept. And third line, purifying one's mind is, let's have a pure faith of triple treasure, taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. That is purifying one's mind. So, in Pali, it is not the imperative for the deluded people, but these verses, the implication of the autonomous practice of enlightenment. So, Shobo Kendo Dogen Zenji mentions like this. In short, Maksa, volume number 2, and page 172, Dogen mentions those words are enlightened words. those words means these first seven Buddhist precepts. Those words are enlightened words, and words enlightened. Supreme enlightenment is contained in those words, and by listening to them, we aspire after refraining from evil and practice it continually. Where no evil is produced, the true strength of practice is actualized. This actualization covers the entire earth, all the world, time, and all dharmas. The measure of its actualization depends on the amount of refraining from evil. So here says, those words are enlightened words, Bodhi word. So it is already enlightened, holy word. It's not something we should see it in terms of ordinary deluded person's view. Anyway, we are already enlightened one. And you can see precept as only enlightened words. So if you take one, each words are anyway Buddhist mind, completely beyond your speculation. And all you have to do is you should accept each word as the Buddha mind. Well, later I can explain why we have to do it. So first of all, now, please keep in mind the precepts. Each word of the precepts are already enlightened one. So, all we have to do is, anyway, take the precept, whatever you feel. Anyway, take a precept as a Buddhist mind, Buddhist teaching. And if you take a precept as a Buddhist teaching, you can behave as a Buddha. But if you take it as a moral sense, you become a moral person. Do you understand? So, but in terms of your senses, it's very difficult to understand this. So very naturally, you always feel you obey Buddhist teaching as a moral sense. But that's alright, okay? That is alright. So you have to keep going, taking the precept as a Buddhist teaching. Okay. In other words, I always mention this. If you want to practice calligraphy, you should take the good textbook written by a great teacher. Not a usual person. But if you see the textbook, your character, the character you draw, you have written is completely far from the calligraphy written by a teacher, don't you think, huh? So that's why you don't like that textbook. So you want to have a textbook you feel from that, because your calligraphy is not good. So you want to have a textbook which is very similar with your calligraphy. Do you understand what I mean? At that time, if you take that textbook, you never have progress. Do you understand? So even though you don't feel that, anywhere far from you. You don't understand why we have to take this calligraphy textbook. You don't know when you can master this one. But anyway, take it and learn just for fun. If you continue to do it, very naturally, you experience that where no ego is produced, the strength, the true strength of practice is actualized. Very naturally, sooner or later, you master. Before your conscious bit, you master calligraphy. That's why, in the beginning, even though you think it is moral teaching, but that is your understanding. So all you have to do is anyway take that precept as a Buddhist teaching. And continually you should take it, or continue it and learn in your everyday life. And then, before you are conscious of it, that Buddhist teaching penetrates your life. At that time, even though you write calligraphy, but you don't need a particular effort. So your brush is moving naturally, but calligraphy is exactly fit into the teacher's calligraphy. Exactly. So this is not only the precepts, but also whatever you do, you have to anyway practice like this. That's why Mahayana Buddhism always accept Buddhist precept as a Buddha, anyway Buddha, holy precept, not the moral, ethical, anyway sense, not moral, ethical teaching. Okay. Same things is they explained in Abhidhamma Kosha and also Pali Buddhism, Mahayana Buddhism, or Avasandaka Sutra always mentioned the same things. For instance, in the Pali Buddhism, the Eightfold Path, is that which is bestowed with holy path. So that's the Eight Noble Paths is not the ethical or moral teaching we have to follow, because it is already holy path, holy teaching. So you should accept, you should practice, you should dwell in this or the all Eight Noble Paths. Anyway, as a Buddhist teaching. And also, in Mahayana Buddhism, we say enlightenment is achieved in the beginning of arousing the body mind. When you step inside, in the beginning of stepping inside of Buddhism, that is already enlightened world. So first step sanctuary is very important for us. That's where when you become priest or when you become a monk, anyway, it's very important that first, in the first beginning, it's very important. All Dogen Zenji mentions the body mind must be aroused as 100,000 million times day by day. In order to achieve the perfection of this faith and the precept, we have to sever three ties in general Buddhism. Three ties. First one is selfishness. Second is a doubt or a wrong view. Third, wrong belief of religion, in other words, superstition, kind of a superstition. So anyway, we have to be free from dogmatism, so-called selfishness, and doubt or wrong view, and also wrong belief of religion. Superstition exists. Let me explain second one, doubt or wrong view. We should have right view on the human life, human world. We cannot attach to excessive one-sided idea. So in Buddhism, we emphasize we should see the human world, human life, in the light of teaching of impermanence and the law of causation. So in this book, the Refining Your Life, page 62, in the Shishogi, second paragraph, in the Shishogi are the following two passages. Since everything is impermanent, there is nothing that can be relied upon, like a dewdrop on a blade of grass along the path that vanishes quickly. Who knows when this life will end? This body is surely not my passion and possession. Life changing in time doesn't stop even for an instant. This second passage follows somewhat later. Ultimately, the law of cause and effect operates clearly and impartially apart from my will. Without exception, one who commits evil actions falls, while one who performs good prospers. The point is, there are two teachings, impermanence and law of causation. It is very contradictory situations. If everything is impermanent, nothing to grasp in your hand, this is the one teaching. In order to understand the human world, anyway, you have to understand the human world on the basis of this teaching. But on the other hand, it says, there is
the law of causation. If you do something very naturally, you will have its result. So this is very contradictory. So on the end, so that's why we are very confused in the human world, human life, always. So I may say that you have to make a plan for your life within impermanence. Okay. Impermanence means not change. Impermanence is that which causes change to be so. Okay? So impermanence is very basic teaching of existence. Right? It doesn't have any form and colors and smell. But only we can see the impermanence through idea of change. Physically, mental change. We can see. That is called impermanence. So impermanence itself is kind of energy, moving, functioning, working dynamically. Okay? We cannot see with our naked eyes. Only through the change we can see it. We can understand it. Okay? So, within the change, through the change, you have to see the depth of human life based on impermanence, constantly moving there. Moving and produce, always appearing, disappearing, always supporting your life. This is the impermanence. So, and you have to make a plan for your life. With impermanence means you can see, you can make a plan for your life, but you cannot attach to the result of your plan. So you just make a plan and follow. Because you have to make a plan and practice it within impermanence. So you cannot attach to, anyway, your idea of the plan you have had. So all you have to do is, day by day, you have to practice it. And then, very naturally, you can get taste of the impermanence within the making plan of your life. Okay, what the plan is, what your hope is, what your human life is. So you cannot ignore this right view on the human world, human being, human life. Okay. So first, you have to be free from dogmatism, the called doubt and the wrong views. People will try to ignore or try to doubt the teaching of impermanence, the teaching of law of causation. That is called wrong view. So we have to accept it. Okay. So second, we have to be free from selfishness. Selfishness means always attaching to the self first. So it's very difficult to be free from self. That is egoistic, very selfish. For instance, you know the children's story there, the turtle race.
Tortoise and the hare.
You know the story? taught us in the common sense is very slow movement. Very slowest creatures in this world, in common sense. So he never, we don't believe that he never win in any race with rabbit or hare, anyway. But actually, he did it. So he is the lowest, anyway, the level of the race and creature, very slow, slow movement. But he just won because in order to win, can you imagine how much his turtles make effort to reach the top? Enormous effort. In order to make this enormous effort, he completely be free from label of slowest creature or furthest creatures anyway in race. He just moving. He just make every possible effort to move. How much does he make effort? Enormous effort. Complete beyond his label. Okay? So, you should, in order to make an effort, you should make an effort, no, excuse me, you should give the quality to the effort instead of expecting result of effort. So all you have to do is just do it. So in order to accomplish quality of effort, there are one point is you have to make enormous effort, being free from your label, your judgment. I am poor boy. I don't have capability, or I have a capability, or I am a good boy or not. Forget it and just make enormous effort. That is the one point, all right? Second, how can you make the quality of the effort alive, actually? But if you make an effort in order to compete with somebody for getting the prize itself, it's very difficult to accomplish quality of your effort. So secondly, you shouldn't compete anyway. You shouldn't compete. Without competing with somebody, anyway, all you have to do is just move. That is second point. You can give the quality to the effort you have made. Third, don't expect result. This is the best way to be free from selfishness. That is our practice. For instance, Zazen. Zazen is you are really trying to haste to attain enlightenment, or you don't haste. Whatever you do, that is wrong. It makes you exhaust. And also you look at yourself, I am a very poor boy. I am a coward. I cannot attain enlightenment, or whatever you think. It makes you exhaust. So you cannot do anything. So all you have to do is be free from any label you can see or people give you. It doesn't matter. all you have to do is, if you want to practice, to sit down. Just like a portal. And secondly, don't compete anyway. You compete always, the enlightenment or deluded mind always compete. Deluded human ordinary people. I am deluded ordinary people. How can I get the Buddha? How can I become a Buddha always, you think? That is competitions. It's very hard. At that time your Zazen becomes hell Zazen. You're always scared, restless. So anyway, don't compete anything. Even the people attain enlightenment, that is other story, not your stories. If someone stumbles over, why don't you help him and let it go anywhere first? In Japan, there are we have the yearly the what would you say the kind of sports meet at the school with the parents. Sometimes you can see very wonderful at the race. Little boys run, but he is always the last. And then the one person before him stumbled and fought on the ground, and then he stopped and waiting him and helped, you know, helping him. And then he ran. And he completely, his friends ran, and he was always last. Do you understand this one? That's very beautiful, isn't it? He was always last, helping this guy's friends, and he was fast always. But he just won. That's beautiful anyway. So this kind of effort is very important, but in human world, we don't do it. If someone fell down, you don't pay attention to it. Because you have to win. So, that's why we have to do it anyway. Don't compete and just do it. Next, don't expect result. So, this is the best way to be anyway free from selfishness. That is called egolessness, practice of egolessness. Egolessness is not to destroy the self. So, practically you can do like this, but nevertheless, you can have still something you cannot get overcome. Your personality or character sits there. Okay? So that's why religious ritual, in terms of religious ritual, we have kind of the repentance, okay, in front of the Buddha. That is practice of repentance.